Anybody else being adjusted in here? He doesn't just adjust us, He transforms us. Hallelujah. How many remember what the word worship means? I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget. To kiss towards, yeah. Towards. It's from an old English word which means worth ship. A ship worthy, seaworthy. But it denotes worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. Denotes worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. When we come together and we set our hearts to bless and honor God, when you live your life in a way that honors God, He honors you. When you make Jesus smile, guess what? You put a smile on your face too. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're always going to walk around with a smile, but it's not a bad way to walk around, is it? And sometimes we just need to tell our face we have joy, right? We got it in the heart, but we've got to tell ourselves that. And so, God is the joy giver. True joy, amen, is in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Not misery, but pleasure. You think God wants you to feel good? Yeah. God wants us to feel good. But sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. I know that's popular preaching. Say amen. Sometimes we have to feel bad before we can feel good. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen. We become aware of our condition before God. It should produce in us a heart that wants to be free, wants to be rid of filth, to be cleansed, to be washed. Amen. To be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Only Jesus can purify your heart, by the way. You cannot save yourself. You cannot purify your heart. You and I need Him. And people that don't walk with God do not understand who they are. We understand that without Him, I can't do it. I can't make it. But I can do all things through Christ. He's my strength. We talked about seeding clouds, you know, as we are worshiping, as we are lifting praise, as we're bringing thanks before the Father, as we give, as we intercede on behalf of others. These are offerings that are acceptable before God. This is what pleases the Father. That is spiritual worship. That is true worshiper. Amen? Not just necessarily singing songs, but we come before Him with singing as well. It's very important. Music is a gift from the Lord. And it needs to be used for His glory. So we come before Him with singing and offerings of thanks and of praise. And as we are offering praises, we're seeding. Amen? Heaven. And there comes a time when it begins to get the attention of the Father. And when you get the Father's attention, there's an open portal. He's looking over. He's smiling. And when He's smiling, amen, we know it. And He is really delighted today because we have come with hearts of worship today. Amen. We didn't come with selfish ambition and what's in it for me, but we came in it. I'm here to offer to God the thanksgiving He deserves, the praise that He deserves. Because He gave His only begotten Son for me, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. He died for me. Does He not deserve me and all of me? Sure He does. He's worthy. See, God's not asking for your spare change, not asking for leftovers. He's asking for the whole offering. Abundant life is in presenting ourselves as a whole offering. You can't have abundant life in the areas of your life that you don't give Him. If you keep Him shut out of certain areas and rooms in your heart, you can't have Him. Because where He is abundant life. Because He is life. He is abundant life. Amen? He's not just saying, here's a boat, here's a house, here's a car. Have fun. Now, he may give you that, but he wouldn't give you that just so you bow down and worship that thing, amen? And you forsake assembling with God's people because you're just more in love with your boat and your fishing or whatever it is. Yeah. There's a time. God, let's just have fun. Is it all right? God, let's just have fun. He's not a God. He doesn't want to take away your fun. He wants to give you life. And there is no greater joy than His presence. There is no greater joy. There is no greater love, no greater peace than Him. You know, the world is temporary. It's just, wow, that was fun, now what? Let's go do this. Oh, that was fun, now what? And next thing you know, your whole life has gone by and you say, well, we had a good time. However, nothing ever seemed to really satisfy. I'm still empty. Even if you gain the whole world, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I give my life to Jesus because I love Him. I want Him. He's my delight. He's my desire. We just offer praise to Him because He deserves it. It doesn't matter if you're having a bad day or not. God is in the sacrifice. God is in the sacrifice. When you say, I'm going to praise Him anyways. I'm going to rejoice. I'm choosing to worship. I'm choosing. I will bless Your name. As an act of my will, I will bless Him. I will make it a sacrifice of praise to Him. And He's delighted in that. And He says, I'm going to take care of that problem you got. I'm going to give you joy instead of mourning. I'll give you beauty for them ashes. And a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. In other words, He'll break the oppressor off your life as you praise Him. If you're feeling down, you're feeling oppressed. Anybody beside myself ever go through those times? I want to tell you, this message, preparing this message yesterday, was a battle. So buckle your seatbelt because God is already imparting something into you. But He's got something for you today. And it is fresh, it is from heaven, and it's going to change your life if you will listen to what God is saying. It's not enough just to hear the message. We've got to be doers of the Word. That means we just got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Father, I just ask You to help me today. I can't do this without You, Lord. I recognize my dependency. I realize it. Upon You, Holy Spirit, for everything. Release in this place today revelation, knowledge, understanding. Lord, reveal Your heart to us. Reveal Yourself to every person. And Lord, I pray that not one of us will leave the same that we came. In Jesus' name, I pray You change every person, every heart, every mind. Make us beautiful for You, Lord. Because we want to present ourselves, our bodies to You. As a living sacrifice. Lord, we don't want to offer You what's left over. We want to offer You all. Because whatever You have, You can bless. In every room that You're invited into, Lord, You can bring life and light and peace. So we welcome You, Holy Spirit. Take the things of Jesus now, Lord, and sow them. Plant them in every heart. Seal it there. And I bind the operation of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. We bind you up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, open the eyes, open the ears today to hear the message. Hallelujah. Shubo. Talking about just a little bit of a review of worship is being singing, it's prayer. Worship is interceding on behalf of others. These are all unselfish things. When we sing to God, when we bless the Lord, when we praise Him, when we give thanks to God, when we minister to one another, when we give thanks, God receives that as worship. God delights in those who delight in Him. Anybody here delight in Jesus this morning? If we don't delight in Jesus, then we need to ask the question, what's going on? What is taking His place in my life? You know, a lot of folks are chasing after wind and sand. You know what wind and sand is? It's just temporary things that never satisfy. Yeah. If I can just get the next promotion, if I can just get to the next level, if I can just be a little more popular, if I can just be a little prettier, you know, if I can just be a little richer, then I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. By the way, they're not walking out because they're offended. They got something to do today. However, they do occasionally walk out because they're offended. Not them, though. Love you, Delsa. So, thank you, Jesus. Worshippers receive, are you hearing this? Receive favor from the Lord. You know, there are some people who for years and years, they, and I'm not picking on anybody this morning, but if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, receive it. But just in general, even in the body of Christ, there are some people who they seem to just stay in the same spot. They just never seem to go beyond where they've always been. And there's usually a common denominator with certain people too that I notice that they're not really enjoying their walk. It's because they don't see much being put in to their worship towards God. What I mean by that is that they just kind of sit like a bump on a log and they don't really enter in. You know, it's not, we don't want to be observers in this thing, do we? Man, I remember being an observer when I was a kid. Say, what is up with these people? You know? What's the big deal? Until I had a personal encounter with Jesus and I said, oh, now I get it. Wow. Wow. You need to know Him. And you need to know Him. When you know Him, it will change your whole outlook on life, man. I mean, it's everything. It will shift your whole perspective. When you really begin to encounter and taste and see how good God is, man, you just want more. So you offer praise and thanksgiving. Yes, audibly. When the Bible talks about calling on the name of the Lord, it was an audible expression of literally crying out to God. Yeah. Remember with Enoch. Men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And so at that time, they called audibly out to God. There are times throughout Scripture you see, and also in our own lives, where you need to cry out to God. You need to shout to God with a voice of triumph. Mm-hmm. Because it breaks something open in the heaven. Sometimes the heavens seem like they're iron, impenetrable. Now, I want to talk about later, a little later on, about the anointing and the glory. The anointing and the glory, okay? Now, they're all basically the same, but there's a difference here. I want you to understand it. Because we can be anointed. Amen? And your anointing is your gifting. It's your work in Jesus. It's what you do for Him. And I'm not talking about just doing things you can do naturally. I'm talking about a supernatural impartation called the anointing. That Jesus had anointed, remember this, the 12 and then the 70, and He sent them out with an anointing to go in His authority with an impartation or a measure of the anointing as they went. But then later Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. What was that? The glory came. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we'll get into that a little bit. But worship is so vitally important. What we want here when we come together is, first of all, I've talked about this before, is we should already have been personally intimate with Christ. We should have already had our time in the closet. Pray to your Father in secret, and He will reward you openly. So the priests at the dedication of Solomon's temple, they had been in, amen, the presence of the Lord, and they came out to join with the musicians and the singers and the people as they came together to give praise to the Lord with high-sounding praises and cymbals and every type of instrument in unity. And it says the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple. First, there was private prayer, private worship, private thanks, private praise. And then they came together corporately and the glory of God came. That's where we need to continually focus. Is what we want is not only to for you to be personally edified as you pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you praise in the Holy Spirit, as you give thanks, as you give, as you intercede for others in the Holy Spirit, as you have personal worship to God, seeding your own cloud. So you are basically your own cloud. God has got glory in you. Amen. And so when we come together and we have been well seated and we're full of rain, if you will, type of what? His presence. And we come together corporately to seek Him is an ascension of all this that we have invested even during the week to come together. As it ascends into heaven, it creates a cloud, a corporate cloud, if you will, of glory. And in that place, and that's where we're heading, folks. I want you to hear this, and I don't want you to become weary in this, but in that place, you don't even have to lay hands on anybody. Aretha got healed last Sunday. Nobody touched her. I thought she wanted prayer. She said, no, I've been healed already. But in the glory, you don't have to. That's where God does it. That's where we enter into a place called rest. That's where everything is really easy. People are getting healed very easily, very quickly. And even people that aren't even really close to God, if they just get in the glory, boy, even them God's using. Because they're in the glory. And we are carriers of His glory. And so the cloud accompanied them. The cloud represents what? His manifest presence on the earth. His glory. So what we want is, Lord, I'm praying, send the glory. Let the glory cloud, your Shekinah glory, come into our meetings. Because it's the Lord who will build a house. He will build a house. It takes away all the struggle when God does it. We can have effectiveness simply walking with Jesus in cooperation with Him. But when the glory of God comes, that's where people around the world all of a sudden say, hey, there's something going on over here in Shelton. Come on. And nobody had to send them an invitation and say, hey, check it out. Because God, when He decides to do something, because He sees a people united to seek Him and to bring the kingdom in, to this place, to this dark area. See, it's in the darkest places. I'm excited to be here in Shelton. Because that's where the glory, the grace of God much more abounds. I'm telling you, is it true? If you're in just where it's always light and everybody's just kind of Christian and Christianese, speaks Christianese and get along, and it's like, but man, when you get into the dark places, we're going to shine the brightest there. And God's going to pour out the extra measure too. Hallelujah. Hey. More, Lord. Say more, Lord. Acts 10, I talked about this. Cornelius, who was a devout man, verse 2, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms, he was a giver, generously to the people, and prayed to God always. God accepted that as worship. Look at verse 31. Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Do not become weary in well-doing. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Keep pressing in. Keep honoring God. Keep blessing God. Keep doing what God tells you to do. You may be going through a dark season. You may be going through a valley. But God has promised that there is a place called the land that is flowing with milk and honey. And it's in His presence. Because the Lord promised to prepare a table before us. Where? In the presence of our enemies. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out of it. I'm going to provide water in the desert. You don't have to worry about your circumstance or let your circumstance control you. Hallelujah. God is greater than that. And He will provide. He will nourish. He will strengthen. He will encourage. He will lift you up. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of difficulty. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants us to trust Him. Interesting, I found this proverb, Proverbs 16, verse 15. In the light of the king's face is life. In the light of the king's face is life. And what that means is when you have captured the attention of the king and he's looking in your direction. Are you hearing it? There is life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Worshippers receive favor from the Lord. I'm talking about not just occasional singers. I'm talking about people whose life is an act of worship. They are worshipers of God Monday through Sunday. Amen? Every day. I was almost going to say Saturday and say, what, we quit on Sunday. But when we begin to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we know that, but do we live that? Do we realize that wherever we go, we are an expression of the life of Jesus in this dark world? Amen? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's something obvious that needs to be seen here. And he's not just talking about doing good deeds. However, good deeds should follow, amen, intimacy with God. But your good deeds, really, are that which has been done from the Spirit. Fruit that God accepts is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Not just you and I deciding to do good things. Oh, why don't we just do good things? The world does good things because it makes them feel good. But what we want to do is God things, right things. The things that He's telling us to do, as we talked about Elijah, was in the place that God put him. He said, go to the brook Cherith. There I will provide for you. In the assignment of God was where he received his nourishment. Where he received not only that, but his next assignment came at that place called there. And the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Righteous people are in right standing. In other words, they're obeying, they're listening. Obedience to the word of the Lord is worship that he accepts. Smiles. And the face of the king, when you captivate, and through worship, as Cornelius did, he caught the attention of the king. And he says, your prayers and your alms have come up before me. As, in one translation says, a memorial. It was brought before the Lord and he remembered. Sometimes we think, am I making any difference? Is there any good coming out of all this that I've been doing? Hey, Galatians 6:9, do not be weary in well-doing. You know, a farmer doesn't go out and plant the seed, go out the next day and say, I don't see anything, forget it, there's nothing going to come up. He waits patiently. Because if you keep sowing the right seed, eventually it's going to come back. It will. I guarantee it. It will come back. How many have discovered that already? And some of your fruit is not even going to come back until you're gone. But it's still going to be your fruit because you obeyed God. Many have sowed for the next generation. Because that is what we call being unselfish. That is what God does. He is always concerned, amen, about others. Not just what I'm going to get out of this, but what about my children? What about my grandchildren? What about the future of our nation? Do we just want to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow? Our nation's going to collapse, and well, we might as well just join in on the party because it's not going to be here. No, what we need to be saying is we need to seek God. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to call out to Jesus, amen, for divine intervention. We need the glory of God to come into this city. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a difference between having a meeting together where there is a manifestation of God's presence and glory. That's wonderful. We love that. It imparts to us. It encourages us. It strengthens us. It builds us. But what we really need is such a move of God in this city that the glory of God comes and settles over this city. And that's like in Wales and other places where people were just walking down the street and they were completely just taken over. And the fear of God came upon them. And they said, what must I do to be saved? The glory of God will be brought in through true worshipers who will seek Him with their whole heart. And they will be patient to wait on God. I believe we've had many promises that we are going to see a greater glory than we're even experiencing right now. And I tell you, there's glory in this room right now. But I'm praying for a greater glory because it takes, amen, His glory, His presence is what makes the difference. We can have very limited effectiveness just by doing good deeds, amen? Trying to be a nice person, nice neighbor. Oh, that's all good. But does that change hearts? No. Only God can transform hearts. And God leaves it up to His people, His church, to come together and to pray and to seek His face. And we got to quit criticizing one another. And we need to start praying for our brothers and our sisters and for the other churches, amen? And that God will get a hold of them as well. That all of us will wake up inside together and realize that if we really come together and we really seek the Lord and His purposes, man, there's no stopping what can happen. Amen. In Shelton. Hallelujah. We got to get past our insecurities. What is going to happen? They're going to steal my sheep. Or what is going to happen? They're going to tell me God's coming during the middle of the tribulation instead of the beginning. Forget that stuff. We got to be about our Father's business. That is soul business. Hallelujah. You know, it's called churching the churched, right? Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 says, this is at the completion of the temple of Solomon. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets, well, we don't believe that here, brother. Well, go somewhere where they don't believe that. And cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, what? For He is good and His mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. How many want that kind of visit? Yes. Mm-hmm. How many are willing to put into it then? How many know that we've got to pray beyond where we've been. We need to praise and thank beyond where we've been. We need to give beyond where we've been. Come on. We got to go the extra mile. God is a God who is too precious. God is too precious. Amen? To just throw stuff out like candy. Come on. Anything that's worth anything is worth a sacrifice. He is so precious and is of such value that we cannot comprehend. We can't put it in adequately into words of His value, of who He is. He is God Almighty. He is the Creator of all. And He is awesome, God. He is holy. The angels and the elders, they fall down before Him and cast their crowns before Him. And the heaven is full of an expression of praise and thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. There's a constant cloud of glory being seated through the saints and the prayers of the saints ascending as incense before the throne of God. There is glory in God's presence and God wants to release it. But we've got to get the attention of the Lord. We need to have the King take notice and to smile and to say, there, in that place. Hallelujah. There's unity. They're seeking me. They want to see my kingdom come and my will to be done on the earth. And when we get into that place, and God help us to get to that place where we don't come and play church anymore. When we come with just hearts that are open and receptive and in worship and desiring to seek you and find you. God, we don't want to have an outer court experience. We want to be in the Holy of Holies. We want to be in the very glory realm. Lord, where the work is ceased. God, where people walk through this door. And they're healed instantly. Nobody prays for them. Nobody lays hands on them. They're healed just by the glory of God. They say at Azusa Street, the glory was so heavy and thick that the children literally played in the cloud. They played with it. It was just phenomenal. They had the fire department down there many times because they literally saw flames on the outside of this building. How many want that kind of experience? Yes. Lord, bring it here. Bring it here. Heaven, come down in this place, Lord, so that we may advance your kingdom, that we might see your kingdom come. Hallelujah. And your will be done. So they got so inebriated by the glory that they could not even continue to minister. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, Jesus is coming with clouds. When they stood up on the mount and they saw Jesus ascend in what? Clouds of glory. I don't believe, folks, it's that kind of cloud. How many ever thought of it that way? It's not talking about cumulus clouds, folks. It's talking about the glory of God's presence. The Shekinah glory was caught up in glory. And He's coming again in what? Glory. First in spirit and then one day face to face He shall come and He shall plant His feet on the top of the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. And we say, Lord, now. Lord, reveal. Or as Moses said, show me your glory. You know what? God likes that. He says, I want to. But it doesn't come cheap. It will take a worshiper to have personal glory in their life because we are intercessors, because we are praying, because we are seeking Him. We are thanking God continually. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We need to be practicing the life like that of seeding the glory and seeding the clouds. I talked about how even in science today they're seeding clouds, right? So that they can produce rain on the earth. Wow. That's what we do. The praises go up. You see, God, according to Tony Kemp, he said that he actually saw a vision of this, that God actually inhales worship. And He exhales His presence. That's what's happening. The breath of God is blowing us because we are offering unto Him true worship. Amen? Not just a la 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 la. Time to go yet? La la la. I did my church thing. See you later. No. We are pursuing Him, His very presence. We are seeking the very face of the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where glory is at. He is the King of glory. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. Now we will see Him face to face. But isn't it good to know that God is releasing, hallelujah, even in the earth, He says His glory will be seen. My glory shall be over all the earth. Yeah. You and I are that glory bearer, by the way. We are recipients, amen? We are bearers of that glory. And God wants to show up and through us, He wants to reveal Himself. But when we together corporately in one accord, as they did on the day of Pentecost, They got together and they sought God. Man, the glory came and they were all drunk. They got just inebriated in the spirit because God's presence is so overwhelming. It does funny things to your body even, doesn't it? You just kind of, you get a lot. Sometimes, I think you're getting a little drunk over there today, brother. We're going to have a designated driver. You're going to drive him home after? But we've had moments of that, you know, times of that. But God wants us to get into a place where it's going to start to happen. And it's going to be from glory to glory. Glory to glory. We need to praise to a higher place. Sometimes the reason why we don't have a breakthrough and it seems kind of dry is because we don't sufficiently worship. If I don't sufficiently worship, I am unprepared to be here today, to stand before you. And all of us, it's the same way. We're not going to be effective unless we are worshipers personally, privately, and then corporately. And when we come together corporately, and I thank God because He's bringing people that are hungry. He's bringing thirsty people to this place. And because there is an open heaven here, we're not putting the cap on what God wants to do. We're not putting them in our theological box. God can do what He wants, when He wants to, whoever He wants, however He wants, whenever He wants. It's God. Amen? It's His church. He says, I will build my church. He didn't say you will. He said, I will build it. And the gates of hell or those principalities and powers will not prevail against it. The anointing and the glory. The anointing is the grace we receive from the Lord. Those are our giftings, our works that we do in Jesus' name. Okay? Anybody here anointed this morning? You have an anointing? Because, you know, I was thinking about this because I see... Okay, we see the manifestation, the personal manifestation, the tongues, the prayer language that people have. And then we see the times of God's visitation several times in the book of Acts and throughout history where God just sovereignly moves in an area and there's a glory cloud. And yet, I'm thinking anointing, giftings, glory. Now, it's all from the same God, from the same Lord. But we need to understand the difference here, I believe. The anointing is the grace that we receive. Charis. You know, charismatic gifts. Healing, right? Tongues, interpretation. Word of knowledge. These things, prophecy. Anointing. Anybody here anointed, right? But then the glory is the realm, are you listening, of the Spirit where no one works. It's the place of rest. It's the place where God does the work. Strive to enter into His rest. The glory. In the glory, we don't have to work. We don't have to strive. We don't struggle. It's really not hardly anything of me anymore. But yet, God still will operate with us in that. And yet, things seem to just happen like that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like everybody you pray for gets healed. It's just, we want God's glory because that's where miracles take place. That's where the works of the devil are destroyed. The devil hates the glory. So praise Him more. Worship more. Get more of the glory. Get Him out of your life. He can't abide where the glory of God is. Let Him in every room. Let Jesus come in. You can come into the living room, but you can't go into the attic. Stay out of the attic. Or in the basement. Meanwhile, we're just kind of like, you know, it's not really very, it's only happy in the living room area. But the rest of me is kind of like, it's just not happening because, I know, however, but, you know, I know what I got to do, but. That's rebellion. God's saying, I can't help you if you don't let me have all of you. If you don't listen to me, I can't help you. I can't bless your finances unless you listen to me. Come on. Some people struggle. I'm not looking at you because, you know, for any particular reason, but sometimes we struggle in even our finances because we're simply not listening to God. or because we don't honor God with what he gives us. We don't honor, we don't give of our substance. I thank God for this church because you are good givers. You are worshipers. But I think there's all of us and most of us could admit that there's areas where we can improve in our lives. I hope you realize that today. That we all need to improve. We all need to learn what it is to be a true worshiper. Worship is not something that we do on Sunday morning. Some people, they go to church and say, I'm going to church to worship God. Well, yes, we are coming to this place that we call a church. But we are the church and we worship the God in spirit. Amen. Worship God in spirit and in truth. But it's not something that we do once a week and then we go home and we live our life. But worship is a way of life. Worship is your everyday life. Your whole life is to be an expression of worship to God, of honor to God, glory to the King. Why? Because our kingdom is not of this world. We're living for eternity. We need to be sowing into that kingdom, sowing into that reality, which is a superior reality, where there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death, there is no sorrow. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In that realm of the Spirit, that's where we want to operate. That's where we want to go. Hallelujah. We want to be sowing into heaven. Let your treasure be in heaven, where it won't corrupt. Thieves don't come and steal. And if you're heavenly minded, you'll be earthly good. How many know that you can be anointed and stressed out at the same time? But when you get into the glory, it's all of a sudden it's like, man, I ain't got a worry in. I don't have a worry in the world. Come on. That's why it feels good to come together when we worship and there's glory. Why? Because it's like it just lifts you up out of that. And we carry an anointing with us, but you can be stressed out and be anointed at the same time. I want to try to see the distinction here. Now, in the Old Testament, the anointing oil was to be upon the priests. On Aaron, remember, in the sons of Aaron, the Levites also. And what? As they ministered in the temple. But even though the anointing was upon them and they ministered and they did the work in the temple, it was not the same. It was not what they really needed until God's glory came and filled the temple. There was the anointing upon the priests. But then there was the glory of the Lord. And when the glory and the anointing meet, like I heard somebody say, I think it was Perry Stoney said that the Holy Spirit is attracted. Why do we anoint with oil? The Bible says to anoint with oil. He says because apparently the Holy Spirit is attracted to oil. God told us to do it. I don't understand it, but we do it. You anoint with oil and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So you anoint, everything was anointed. And then when there was worship, there was singing, there was praise, there was offering of thanks, amen? There was every musical instrument involved and an expression of giving glory and honor and worshiping Him. Yes. Then the glory. Amen. Oh! Amen. Yes. Then the glory, yes, of the Lord filled the house. Yes. How many are you wanting the glory? Hallelujah. I said it before, but the glory is the manifest presence of the Lord. But the anointing is the grace God gives us for His service. You hear it? When the glory came, there was an impartation of what? The anointing. So when we pray for one another, I do believe it's scriptural that there is an impartation from the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, right? You lay the hands and they ordain for ministry or they do an impartation of maybe some grace or gift. There is that where we actually, in a sense, are borrowing from another's anointing. But what we want is we want God's glory to show up. Amen? Because in the parable of the ten virgins, five were wise, five were foolish. The five foolish ones were going to other people and say, give us some of your oil. Give me another impartation. I don't want to worship during the week. I don't want to pray. I just need an impartation today. And I'm going to go on your anointing. Guess what? That's not good enough. We need to be people of His presence. We need to know Him personally. It's not enough to be in around. Just because you get some goosebumps on Sunday morning doesn't mean you're in right relationship with the Lord. You're just going to feel that because of His presence here. You need to get your heart right with God. And when your heart is right with God, God's going to smile on your life. And all of a sudden, things are going to start lining up right. When you get things in line, God's telling you what to do, you start listening to Him and start doing it His way, start listening to His Word, then you're going to find your life's going to just turn around. When you start letting God in every room of your heart, you're going to find that you're going to experience His joy, amen, His life, an abundant life. In the anointing, God works with us as we move in faith. He honors faith. We can do the prayer of faith, right? And there's a release of His healing, of His anointing. But in the glory, God does not need us to work. Are you hearing this? No one has to necessarily lay hands on anyone or speak a word. Miracles just happen. The gifts flow easily and freely throughout the body. That's what we've been experiencing here to some degree. But, folks, please, please listen. Don't let yesterday's standard be tomorrow's. That's the problem. As soon as we start putting a cap on things, we quit growing, and when we start growing, we start shriveling up. We start to drain. Our life begins to flow out of us. What we want to do is continually be in a growth cycle, constantly stretching forward, going deeper, going higher in worship. Don't let today's standard be tomorrow's standard. Are you hearing me? Let's lift the ceiling, raise the bar, and let's continue to go upward and onward. Because it's in the glory where things are going to completely be taken apart and put back together. Our lives will never be the same. Amen? The people that are around us will be influenced because of the glory. God will so move in this community. I believe that the people are going to be looking for someone who knows God. Because the fear of God is going to come upon people again. Do you hear that? That is bearing witness right now with the Spirit. God's fear is going to come upon the people again. And you and I need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be people who understand what it is to walk in worship. To be worshipers of God. Because it's in the place of worship. It's in the place of intimacy with God where you begin to hear His voice more clearly. You begin to follow Him more nearly. You begin to understand the purpose of God. You will find out where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to do. Because in the place called there is the place where God is going to provide for you. It's in the place of the glory where God led the children of Israel out of bondage. Amen. And by the cloud by day and the fire by night, God's protection, God's preservation, and God's provision was there because of the glory. We want the glory of God to come and to fill our atmospheres. Amen? Not only our personal, but when we come together corporately. Hallelujah. And I pray that the day come when they call the fire department over here. Not because there's a natural fire either. But because they're going to see the flame of God, hallelujah, lighting on this place. Glory to God. Whoa! Say hallelujah. I'm almost done. When the apostles, when they ministered to the sick, they operated in their God-given authority and anointing. Right? That God gave them authority. He's given us authority as sons and daughters. And they operated what? In the anointing. But when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, And in other times, when they were threatened, remember? They called upon the Lord. They said, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant that your servants with all boldness may speak your word." And the place where they are assembled was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's the glory. The glory came. And boy, then they began to walk without fear. Because where the glory of God is, there is no stress there. There's no fear. There's no sickness there. Hallelujah. Get closer. You know, people, they can get close, and just being close to the glory, you know, it feels good. But boy, man, we need to get out of the kiddie pool and go into the deep end, right? All the way. Hallelujah. Submerge. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Shurala. Glory to God. Mary. I thought of Mary. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, what happened? Folks, it wasn't just an anointing. The Holy Ghost overshadowed, just completely enveloped her. The glory of God came and Christ was born. Hallelujah. She conceived in her womb. Amen? The Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. She welcomed. I've got a couple other things here. One was in the times past in the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel instructions. He gave them strategies, such as Gideon in Judges 7, as to how to defeat their enemies. But when they found themselves up against the Red Sea, and God's glory was with them, remember what God told Moses? "I'm going to take care of it for you," he said. And Moses said, "Speak to the people, stand still, do not be afraid." For what? Huh? "And you shall see the glory of the Lord." What was that? The glory of the Lord! There was no battle there. They did not have to. Well, they didn't have any battle instruments anyway, did they? But they began to panic, and Moses said, "Stand still. Don't be afraid. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord is going to fight your battle for you." Where's that? In the glory. Why? Because the cloud was with them. Do you see it? We want to get to the place where we are, just the glory of God is resting in this location, in this geographic location even, this city. And when that happens, hallelujah, they're going to come flocking. They're going to come running. Yes, yes. Oh, God, bring it in. Bring it in.
Yes, yes.
Bring it in, Lord. Bring the glory.
Yes, yes.
So they'll come running to you. And, Lord, they'll say, "What must I do to be saved?" Just like you moved, Lord, in times past. And in other areas in the world today, God, your glory is being outpoured. God, for many years, you have heard the prayers, the cries of your saints in this area. And it is coming up before you. And that it's coming up, are you hearing this? As a memorial?
Yes. Yes.
God, we're here and we want to be in position and we don't want to miss it, Lord. We don't want to miss it. We want to be ready. We want to be in position. We want to be in position for your glory. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm done, but God is saying this to you this morning. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again.